desert storm. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, His love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio. My name is Joe Montone, your host, and it's great to be back with you on the air. I want to just thank Frank for producing the show this morning and for his assistance with our production. And I want to take a moment to thank Dale and Jane once again for having me back on the air. It's a great day, and this is the show Finding God in Prison. We've had many broadcasts before, and, you know, as you know, we will be focusing on the success and reentry that the WINGS program is currently having. We're also going to highlight today some additional statistics for you from the state of Oklahoma, and we'll be talking heavily about the Oklahoma City bombing that took place back in 1995. And this is a very important program because we want to highlight some of the things that have occurred if you don't get to rehabilitate some of the guys who really have bad intentions. And so we'll be talking about that. We'll also highlight a little bit about some of the work we do with men who have depression and also challenges with alcoholism and prescription drugs. And so, again, you're listening to Joe Montone, your host at Finding God in Prison, and we're on Holy Spirit Radio. This morning's show is going to be dedicated to a good friend of mine who lost his son, Nathan. And I just tell you that this gentleman lost a son who was addicted to alcohol and also to prescription drugs. And so we're going to dedicate our show to him and to his family. And we just pray that they'll have peace with, you know, with this situation. And never easy to bury a child. And so we want to really show a lot of compassion for this friend of mine, Larry, and his son, Nathan. But I just tell you that we will be covering some of that territory, highlighting, again, prescription drug abuse and alcohol abuse. And we'll also be talking heavily about the challenges with depression for men on the inside as well as people on the outside of prison walls. And so before we go forward, I want to just give you a little bit of an update. We're now completed 7 years of inmate reentry work in the Philadelphia prison system. We had our last graduation on June 25th of 2018, and we're currently preparing for our next class, beginning our eighth year, August 27th, 2018, working at CFCF, or the Coron Fromhold Correctional Facility. And this is a, you know, a beautiful opportunity, really, to go forward with the WINGS program for another year, helping to touch the hearts and minds of our men. And, you know, we're really doing pretty well. Actually, one of the prisons, the House of Corrections, is on the verge of being closed, and as the reduction in inmates and success in recidivism has been increased. And so when we began the work here 7 years ago, there was more than 8,600 men and women incarcerated in the Philadelphia Department of Prisons, and today we're just below 7,000. And so we've made an impact along with other programs. The WINGS program has touched a lot of men. We've helped to bring men home early and to get them off and on their way into jobs and into vocations with the help of some excellent organizations such as Orleans Tech and Smith & Solomon, Allstate, and the Community College of Philadelphia. Some of our men, as you know, are driving the big rigs as a commercial driver, and some of them have gotten GEDs and been graduating from the CCP with different types of degrees, as well as getting their certifications or licenses in the area of electrical, plumbing, HVAC, or roofing, or building maintenance. So we've done well, and we look forward to, you know, another good 7 years of work and helping the men to rebuild their lives. You know, the WIGS program is a life-building program, and sometimes people need to make changes and start again, and other times they just need to continue to go a little bit further to set some short-term and long-term goals and get established. And so this is what we do in the WIGS program. Helping the men to have hope and great vision into the future is one of our great goals. I'd like to go into a little bit of statistical information. Right now, we're going to shift gears and focus on the state of Oklahoma and talk a little bit about the incarceration rates there. All right, in Oklahoma, in 2015, 28,114 inmates were incarcerated. And in 2016, there was a reduction to 26,486 inmates incarcerated. 673 people are incarcerated for every 100,000 people in the state of Oklahoma. And Oklahoma is number one in the United States in overall incarceration for females for the past 25 years. It's number two in the United States in overall incarceration in 2016. A recent estimate by the Crime and Justice Institute indicates that the Oklahoma Department of Corrections inmate population will grow by 25% as we proceed to the year 2026, about 8 years from now. The budget for the Department of Corrections is $1.6 billion in the state of Oklahoma. And one of the things I had a pleasure and privilege to visit was the site of the Oklahoma City bombing, which is now a monument and a memorial, all right? And just to give you a little bit of history, back in April of 1995, a truck packed with explosives was detonated on that date outside the Alfred P. Mura Federal Building in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. 168 people were killed and hundreds were injured. The bomber, Timothy McVeigh, an anti-government activist. He was executed 6 years later in 2001 for his crime. His assistant in the crime was Terry Nichols, and he was a co-conspirator. He also was sentenced to life in prison. Until September 11, 2001, the Oklahoma City bombing was the worst terrorist attack to take place on U.S. soil. In December 2000, McVeigh asked for a federal judge to stop all appeals on his convictions and set a date for his execution. The request was granted, and on June 11, 2001, McVeigh, at age 33, died by lethal injection at the U.S. Penitentiary in Terre Haute, Indiana. He was the first prisoner to be put to death in 1963. In May 1995, the Mura building was demolished for safety reasons, and the Oklahoma City National Memorial Museum later opened at this site. The north wall was blown off by the explosion, and more than 300 surrounding buildings were damaged. This was a massive homemade bomb hidden in a rental truck. 19 children were among the 168 that were killed, and more than 500 people were injured. Both McVeigh and Nichols were former U.S. Army soldiers. And McVeigh was charged with 11 counts of murder, conspiracy, and using a weapon of mass destruction. McVeigh was caught on a traffic violation and 2 days later was charged with this crime. And so that's the way things worked out. It's funny that, a lot of inmates actually were caught in a traffic violation somewhere within a short time after the crime took place. And just referencing the memorial itself and visiting the memorial, there's a chair basically for every person who was killed on the right side of the grounds, highlighting the names of the actual victims. And a very beautiful memorial, if you ever get a chance, in Center City, Oklahoma City, and I encourage you to visit it if you can one day. And also I had the privilege of going to St. Joseph's Old Cathedral Church. It's a Catholic church that was affected by the bombing. It sits just across the street from the Muir building itself in Oklahoma City, and it's located very close to that federal building. It suffered extensive damage from the 1995 bombing. All but one stained glass of the east wall of the church was destroyed. And the site known as Blue Hill, which housed the original frame church and the St. Joseph School, is now known as the Oklahoma City National Memorial Site. The church suffered once again great damage from this bombing, causing the church to temporarily be closed for restorations. And again, there was great damage, and all but one stained glass window on the east wall of the church was destroyed during the blast. And basically, at that point, things were rebuilt. And it wasn't until December 1st, 1997, more than 2 years later, that St. Joseph's once again opened the doors for prayer on that date. And so I had the privilege of going to church there recently. And, so that bombing affected, many people and injured many people and many buildings in the area. And this was an incredible event that took place, similar to the 9/11, which took place 6 years later in New York, but on a smaller scale. But I will say that, in doing inmate reentry work, we see the impact that the crimes have had on the citizens as well as the community and the buildings in the area that the events take place. And so just want to move on a little bit from there and let you know that the WINGS program is doing very well. Our men are really succeeding in reentry. We have more than 80% success rate in for men home the first year, and a 92% for men home in the second year, and 100% success rate for men home in their third year. The WINGS program began in 1993, if you remember, when I got a call from a principal asking me to come out and be part of a career day. It was only elementary school. And here we are now, 25 years later, the WINGS program is still moving on. We've been to 100 schools and 8 prisons and really touched many of the people coming through the program. In the last 7 years, we've mentored more than 1,600 inmates. And so I just want to put it out there that if you're interested in doing some mentoring for inmates or giving them some assistance on the outside, helping them to find jobs, you can give us a call at Holy Spirit Radio and leave a message for me at 215-345-1570. That's 215-345-1570. And I'd be more than happy to call you back and get some information to you about how you can be a mentor to men and women in prison. And this is something, I really believe that is a calling. It's been an assignment for me, and I really wish that more people were involved. But, everybody has their calling, and it is an abrasive area that you have to go into. There is risk, but God takes care of all of that. Really, God allows you to get comfortable with what we call the uncomfortable environments and gives you that peace. And then the joy that goes with the community service that we do in the prisons themselves. So, the WINGS program has four fundamentals. And really, if we were to start the WINGS program, we would begin it this way, that the WINGS program is a inmate reentry and recovery program that's designed for practical changes in the way men think and the way they act. We help them to rebuild their lives. When they've lost everything, including jobs and family and licenses and money and power and prestige, basically, you know, they've lost their freedom. We get them and we start to rebuild their lives. And this is, you know, how we proceed one day at a time in the WINGS program. Each man, each woman is in a separate situation, different age, different background, different education level, different family situation. And we meet people where they're at. And basically, we move forward one session at a time. The WINGS program is a 50-hour mentoring program, runs for 10 weeks, 20 sessions, and designed to help men to make those practical changes, you know, in daily life. Some of the changes that they need to make is, number one, is how they make money. We have men doing burglaries and home invasions and robbing and running, men who are greedy and willing to take what you have off the street and basically doing petty theft in stores, retail stores. They're also selling drugs on the street. We have men inside for domestic violence and armed robberies and various crimes. And our job is to change all that. So one of the things we do is focus on business, work, education, helping people to find work in 3 to 30 days. And that's one of the main goals because we know everyone needs to pay their bills. So our job is to get them working as soon as we can. And we work with men who have anger and depression and these two, you know, really obstacles to progress. So we try very, very swiftly to identify people who are angry or are depressed and try to, you know, help them to reverse that and to bring the peace of God, the love of God, the word of God into the hearts and minds of these people. And, you know, it sounds like biblical phraseology. It sounds like it's theory, but in reality, when you get 20 sessions and 50 hours of time to work on the heart of a man, you have potential to get them to make changes. And that's what we do. The peace of God is very important because if you don't have peace as a man inside prison, you have something else. And our job is to bring him a lot of peace. And with that, we can start to rebuild their lives. And this is one of the first things we do. We try to do that by inserting the Word of God into various parts of the WINGS program. WINGS program is designed to help men to get their captainship, if you will, from aviation, as we use a lot of aviation analogies. But it's also designed to help men to re-embrace their families, their children, to be more responsible, more exact, and to really handle the things that they have created. You know, when you create children, our job is to take care of them in the right way as a good father and to be a good husband. So our job is to help them to see that clearly and to not disown it or to delegate it, but to get involved in the lives of their kids. And so we're actively working in this area. And so for the men who, you know, are angry, we'll start with that. You know, we introduce them to the four fundamentals of the WINGS program, which are priorities in life, time management, balance, and the circle of influence. And we really need to introduce them to these priorities in each and every class so that we reinforce the fundamentals to help them to live a balanced life. And the priorities in life are God first, and then you, and then family, work, community service, and then hobbies and sports. And in that line, putting God first, as we look at God as the role model for all things, we look at him as the source of energy, the source of wisdom, and what he says to do and not to do becomes paramount. It's number one, and it's a number one goal for us to get men to really change their ways and to establish their priorities so that their priorities are straight. And we put you before family because the stronger you are, the more you can do for your family and for people in the community or community service. So this becomes very important for men who are playing ball and not working, and they have their priorities upside down. And this is part of it. If they're hanging out and partying and not working, not taking care of their kids and their families, their homes, then they have their priorities upside down. So priorities become very, very important. We also look at time management, which we call the 168, 168 hours a week of total available time. We have 52 sets of 168, and basically, as we proceed in the WINGS program, we plan 1 week at a time, wasting no time. All time should be positive, and the positive people and positive activities in the seven-day week. So the 168, as we refer to it, is the core of the WINGS program. It's the focus by which we move forward and help to rebuild the lives of men. We also look at living a balanced life. When we talk about balance, we talk about spiritual, mental, and physical input within the 168 for the body, mind, and soul. We want people to establish activities, if you will, hobbies, sports, prayer time, everything in a balanced way and nothing excessive. And we want to feed the mind, body, and soul, physical, mental, and spiritual. And with that, we have more peace. And they get to basically list those and to decide how much time they want with each during the 168. But these are important. And this includes education, work, family time, sports, hobbies, community service. It's all important, but it's for the mind, the body, and the soul. And it cannot be ignored. We need to have balance, because if you're angry, you're out of balance. If you have depression, you're out of balance. So we need to, you know, establish a balanced life as being one of the goals for the WINGS program. The fourth fundamental of the WINGS program is the circle of influence. As many of our men have associates and friends who are involved in the criminal life, our job is to create a new circle of people around them. And so the circle of influence, or the COI, as we call it, becomes a very important goal as well. We want them to proceed in the 168 with good people around them, people who love them, who want the best for them, who don't want to take them down, but want to help them to go forward. And this is critical, that we eliminate, you know, the people who are jealous, envious, and, who are selfish, greedy, have too much pride, prejudice, the superego, people who don't bring you peace, but they steal your peace. And so the four fundamentals to review, again, are priorities in life, time management, balance, and the circle of influence. Now, when we talk about men with anger, you know, here's the way we do it. You know, people are not born angry. We actually have some kind of a problem that makes us angry, and we have to become problem solvers. So when we have anger, we look at the root of the anger. We go back to the problem that hasn't gone away, which has created frustration because we're living with the problem. And that frustration eventually leads to anger. And there are many kinds of problems that people are living with because of the things going on in prison. And so, you know, through stagnation, you end up living with problems that don't go away. And so this is important, that when we come home, we become problem solvers and start moving forward without that frustration and anger. And the anger can be, you know, really it can be exemplified in different ways, verbal, physical, all kinds of things that can happen with that anger. Our job is to bring in peace and to turn that around, okay? So once the problem is solved, the frustration and anger leave us, and we have room to clear the board and to start setting goals in other areas and to live more of a peaceful life. When you have peace, you can add joy to your life. And so this is important. For the men who are depressed, and we have a lot of depression in prison through stagnation. And by the way, the WINGS acronym stands for Winning Ideas, Nurturing Growth, and Success. If you're not growing, you're stagnating, and stagnation breeds depression. So our job is to basically help the men to remove depression And there's a way of doing that. Right now, we're going to be talking about depression in a big way. And we are going to identify, you know, some of the, you know, men who have depression and how they've turned that around. And I just tell you, for our listeners, my friends, I want to take a moment to remind you, you're listening to Joe Montone on Holy Spirit Radio. This is Finding God in Prison. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be here with you. And you're on 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. Okay, so when we have men with depression, basically, you know, we can see that, you know, separation from family is a big cause of their depression. Going away, locked up in a cell for many hours in a day. Sometimes they have lockdown and there's no movement at all for 24 hours. But separation from the family is like one of the number one things that creates depression. Stagnation in the case where there's no movement, where men have gotten a continuance for another month or another 3 months or 6 months and have to sit and wait for trial. Okay. Also, the living conditions, living in a cell with another man or two men is hard to do. And this is something, you know, that we need to show them, you know, that they actually have control over by coming home and succeeding through probation and never to return to jail again. They can eliminate the causes of that depression. And by the way, the number one goal in the WINGS program is to get men home early, help them to succeed without violation of probation through that time, and then never to return again. And that's the number one goal. The men only get one shot in the WINGS program because we want them to do that now. We want them to succeed in reentry right now, this go around. And we have men with as many as 72 arrests. So this becomes very important philosophy that they have one shot at the WINGS program, and it will give them one benefit in court. And that's, you know, the way I feel we put the most value on the program. But when we look at depression, you know, the causes of it, we've identified separation from family, stagnation in a case, living in a cell. It could be bad food, you know, very tight conditions, no privileges. You can't shower unless they tell you you can do it. You can't eat unless they say it's okay. And, you know, so you have to ask permission for everything. You can't enter a program unless you get permission. So your freedoms are basically non-existent, and everything's based on the grace of God that you're allowed to do it. Now, depression is defined as the feelings of severe despondency or dejection. It's a common and serious medical illness that negatively affects how you feel, the way you think, and how you act. Depression causes feelings of sadness and or a loss of interest in activities once enjoyed. It can lead to a variety of emotional and physical problems and can decrease a person's ability to function. My friends, we're going to take a little segue here. Jacoby McFadden will be calling in just a few seconds. And Jacoby is the number one guy in the WINGS program. And Jacoby, are you with us?
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Man, all is well. All is well. All is well.
Yeah, I want to thank you for calling in this morning, and God bless you. And you are a man of your word. I know that.
Absolutely.
Again,
absolutely.
You have proven that. So Jacoby, my friend, and I met many years ago in a pizza place, actually through an appointment set by a probation officer and a parole officer. And I'll just tell you that he is the number one guy in the WINGS program who has succeeded in reentry. And, you know, we have had a relationship for quite some time now. And, Jacoby, I just want to welcome you to Holy Spirit Radio and thank you again for calling in.
Oh, well, thank you, man. It's always my pleasure to be a part of the radio show, and it's always my pleasure to give back, because it's not what you receive in life, it's what you give back.
Excellent. And can you, Jacoby, bring us up to date on how you are doing today?
Well, I'm doing well. I'm still assistant manager at ShopRite Corporation in Ewing, New Jersey. Still doing the things of the Lord. I'm still pushing and pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling God through Christ Jesus. Everything is going well. I've been home 6.5 years now. And I tell you, man, just to keep your eye focused on the things of God, all your hopes and dreams and will come to reality and fruition. Yes.
Excellent.
I just want to encourage a lot of people, because I do encounter a lot of people, especially convicted felons. They come to me, they say, "Well, Jacoby, how you became assistant manager? How you got employment? You know, I know you got stripes against you. I got stripes against me." I say the most important thing is stay focused. If God can do it for me, He can do it for you. And I tell them, I say, you know, you can't make excuses in life when you're trying to transition and get back into society and do what's right. You know, I said, you have to continue on staying focused. You have to continue on wanting to be a part of the solution instead of being part of the problem. And a lot of my gotten jobs at the ShopRite Corporation, and a lot of my do speak to and talk to on one-on-one basis. And it's all about encouraging people. And when you encourage somebody, you also encourage yourself, you know?
Okay. It's great. You know, I want to tie you in now to what we're talking about. We've been talking about anger and depression, in the midst of, incarceration. You come a long way, Jacoby. How long are you off probation now?
I've been on probation, 4 years now. I got off federal probation 4 years ago.
I think we know each other at least 6 years. Is that correct?
It's 6 years. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you say that you had some anger or depression while incarcerated? Was that part of your demeanor?
Oh, I guess when I first got incarcerated, you know, let people know I did 66 months in prison, 9 different prisons, 7 different states, 2 federal halfway houses, because, you know, I had 2 different situations. I had a state charge in Maryland for drugs, and I had a federal charge for weapons. And I guess when I first got incarcerated, I felt a little bitter. I felt anger because what it was, I was in denial about myself. You know, it was easy for me to blame people for my mishaps instead of taking responsibility for my own mishaps. It was depressing at times, you know, being away from home and you missing your family and you missing your children, et cetera. But what I realized, Mr. Montone, the things I did out on the street that landed me in prison took me away from the people that I loved the most, was my family and friends. Anger, I really didn't have no anger in prison, because I know that even in my situation, God had a purpose and plan for me. And He was working everything out for my good, even though it might have seemed good, but it was working out for the good. And I just took one day at a time. And I thank God for allowing me. I thank God for allowing me to go through the things I went through to be the man I am today. And I'm a work in progress.
Beautiful.
Yes.
That's a work in progress. And how old are you today, Jacoby?
I'm 46. I'm 46 years old. I thank God for each and every day that He allowed me to wake up to see another day. I think I'm an extra blessing when He allowed me to get up out of the bed, you know?
Beautiful. One thing I really love about you, my friend, is, you know, how you speak of the Lord. And, you know, over the years that I've known you, I really appreciate that, because, honestly, most people don't express that love for God. Mm-hmm. And you have that, you know, and somehow God touched your heart. Mm-hmm. And allows you to change, you know, your phraseology and your terminology to the point where you're focused truly on God and the great blessings He has given you, which is, you know, just an amazing thing to listen to. Every time we have you on the radio, or we get together in one of the schools in the past. And by the way, my friend Jacoby has been a speaker in 5 of the schools in Bucks County in the past. He's also been to CFCF as a speaker 3 times in our graduations. And, you know, these are, you know, the blessings we received through Jacoby and the faith that the Lord has graced him with. So, Jacoby, we want to thank you just for being great part of the Wings program in the past 6 years.
Absolutely. I thank God for using me as a vessel to be a part of the Wings program and different reentry programs as I continue to get back in life. And the most important thing is, and I try to tell any believer, a believer, non-believer too, when you're seeking the things of God, God will open up doors for you. Sometimes in life, God will shut a door that no man can open and open a door no man can shut. And sometimes when God shut a door in our lives, sometimes we may be a little bewildered. Why, God, you shut this door? But God may shut a door in your life because he's going to open up a greater door for you. And one of the most paramount and pertinent things I have learned over the years is being patient. Because we as a people, we want instant gratification. I want this, I want it this, I want it now, I want it now. But one scripture that God always laid on my heart is Psalms 46:10. God said, be still and know that I am God. When we be still and know that God is God, then God can sit back and minister to our spirit. We can hear that little soft voice of God when he's directing our step and directing our paths. I tell people, for my future and my plans, I let God direct that, because he said in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, plans not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. So long as I'm walking in his grace and seeking his face, he's going to direct my steps. Yeah. And that's the most important thing. You got to put God first. You got to put God first in Jesus' name. A lot of people don't want to do that. They want to omit God, and then they want to do things their way. And when you omit God and when you don't put him first, then you see the struggles, and then you see why the blessings are not being bestowed upon you. I just wanted to add that into it.
Yeah, I really appreciate that, because that's one of the most important goals for the Wings program. And every course we line up our men, and it is our goal to line them up with what God says to do and not to do, which basically are, the commandments and mm-hmm. so many more things above the commandments that he tells mm-hmm. us to do and not to do. Mm-hmm. And with that, we have the blessings of obedience that Moses has given us, really, or mm-hmm. Moses, God has given us, those mm-hmm. blessings, which are so great. But, Jacoby, as I hear you talking, once again, it's a privilege to have you with us this morning. And, there were so many things we're trying to cover here during the show, but I want to tie in a gentleman who lost his stepson to alcohol abuse and also prescription drug abuse, if you will, or addiction. Mm-hmm. And, we have some stats and some information on alcohol abuse. Have you ever struggled with that at all?
No, I never struggled with alcohol. I never struggled with drug abuse. I've sold drugs, and I tried alcohol a few times as a teenager, something that I didn't like. And that was never my addiction, never my struggle. Okay. We all have a mountain that we struggle with. And I thank God alcohol and drugs wasn't one of them that I struggled right. with. I struggled with obesity. Half of my life I was overweight, and then I lost 200-something pounds the natural way in 16 years. So we all have our mountain and struggle that we have that we do struggle with. Right. When it comes to certain things that you struggle with, always remember that there's nothing too hard for God. He said he the God and Lord of all flesh. He says in the book of Isaiah, he says nothing too hard for him. And a lot of times in life, Mr. Montone, that really stagnates us as believers. When an issue and a problem come up on us, we are maximizing the problem, then we are minimizing God. God wants us to maximize him, and then he will minimize the problem. And that's right. one thing we don't do. We say, oh, Lord, I got this situation I can't get out of. I can't do this. I can't do that. Lord. And I know I have been in them situations, even on my job, when different things arise on my job, when the enemy trying to come at me on my job through different people. And when it comes to me, God said, God said, I will make your enemies be your footstool. Just continue to love them. Continue mm-hmm. to do the things that are ordained for you to do. He said, I know it's hard when people offend you. you know, you get defensive or stuff like that. But God said, let me control this. God said, this let me control the situation. Because he said, I'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. So even then, you know, it takes the love of God to do those different things. And it's not easy.
Absolutely. Well said. Yeah. I want to go into a little bit about information about alcohol and prescription drugs. Now, alcohol abuse is defined as the continual misuse of alcohol. Some of the symptoms, number one, a slurred speech. And as I mentioned that, I'll just tell you, when I was a kid, I didn't know it, but my dad was an alcoholic. And I didn't understand it when I was very young, but I knew it was a problem through his slurred speech over the telephone. Also, slowing of reflexes, decreased ability to control bodily movements, difficulty concentrating, gaps in memory or brownouts, poor decision-making abilities, risky behavior, staying conscious but having not having memory of your actions, which is called blackout, inability to stop drinking, lying about drinking, inability to get through everyday activities without drinking. Some of the additional symptoms are drinking to relax, driving under the influence of alcohol, problems with family and friends. As you told me, I hear some background noise there. Is that you or is that the telephone by chance?
It's probably the telephone.
Okay, very good. Neglecting responsibilities, having legal problems because of alcohol, and some of the reasons people drink excessively are they have depression, loneliness, emotional stress, and boredom. Now, in 2012, 3.3 million deaths, or 5.9% of global deaths throughout the world, were attributed to alcohol. 7.6% of those were men, and 4.0% were women. In the United States, 88,000 deaths each year from 2006 to 2010 related to alcohol took place. People aged 20 to 64, 1 in 10 deaths are attributed to binge drinking or excessive drinking causes. And the cost of excessive drinking in the United States is $249 billion. Okay, so this is a big problem for our nation. Now, tied into this young man who overdosed on drugs, prescription drugs specifically, opiates, and alcohol. Okay, I want to give you a little bit on the prescription drug side of the house. From 1999 to 2016, 200,000 people died in the United States from overdoses of prescription drugs. And overdose deaths involving prescription drugs or opiates were five times higher in 2016 than in 1999. So there's been a tremendous increase in overdoses from prescription drugs. The most common drugs involved in prescription overdoses include methadone, oxycodone, and hydrocodone. The overdose rates of prescription drugs in 2016, again, between ages 25 and 54, were the highest in the states of West Virginia, Maryland, Maine, and Utah. So throughout the nation, we can see that there's been challenges. And I tell you, just in the WINGS program alone, in the last 7 years, we have lost 11 people to an overdose of heroin, which we didn't mention that drug. But for this young man who was stricken for about 20 years with alcoholism and prescription drug use, you know, he lost the battle. And unfortunately, his dad, you know, and his family suffered the loss and had to bury him at age 37. So we've seen, you know, great results in the WINGS program, but we don't get everybody. Some people actually pass through, and we have to write a eulogy or, you know, go to a funeral. And this is, you know, the population we've been working with on the recovery side of the WINGS program.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so I just tell you that, you know, in doing the WINGS program inside, we have probably 50 to 55% of our men are either using drugs or selling drugs and have the challenge of figuring out their most vulnerable area and what they must do to overcome it. And this is one of the writing assignments in the WINGS program, so that when you build an action plan and are actually coming home, you have a plan of action which identifies and highlights the most vulnerable area or your greatest weakness and what you must do in the 168 to overcome it. And that can be, you know, AA or Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous, Cocaine Anonymous. It could be the WINGS program concurrently. But it's very important that we identify, you know, that most vulnerable area for the people who are challenged with alcoholism or drug use. Excessive use of either will take you out. You know, it was about 2 years ago we lost a young lady, Sarah Benica, who was addicted to drugs, and she actually died of AIDS a couple years ago. She was on the radio, had come to schools just like you too, Jacoby, but she never made it through. She actually died of AIDS, and she had 5 years served and 31 arrests. She had you know, a little child she had given up at age 16. And so, you know, in her family, actually, her sister died 9 months before she did. And at the funeral, her mother was there. It was a very sad situation. So, you know, we need to do more on the, you know, addiction side of the house. And one of the things we try to do is help people to stay in a positive area, using the times and those activities in the 168 only with positive, you know, things when they're working, not working. And is there anything you'd like to say about that?
Yes, the most important thing when you're trying to overcome addiction is you're surrounded in people. You know, a scripture that came to my mind when you was actually talking about that was 1 Corinthians 15:33. And Apostle Paul was telling the people of Corinthians, he said, "Be not deceived. Bad company corrupts good character." Meaning that if you're trying to rehabilitate yourself, you don't need to be around people that's going to pull you back into your situation or your surroundings. I know that I was facing that when I first came home. You know, being an ex-drug dealer and being an ex selling guns and all that kind of stuff, I actually moved back to South Carolina after me and you actually met. And, you know, I didn't have a job when I first moved back down there. In 2012, you know, my dad got sick with cancer and everything. And I didn't have a job. And what happened, I went around a familiar area of South Carolina, you know, and one guy told me, he said, "Man, Cole, man, my buddy got a whole trunk full of guns, you know?" And I mind you, I said, my back was against the wall. I already been home for a little while. I identify that, okay, first of all, I'm in a bad area. I'm in a bad situation, a bad area. But I had to identify. I had to make a decision and a choice. Okay, Jacoby, you just came home from doing 66 months between state and federal prison. Do you want to go back into that situation, or do you want to wait on God and let God help you and pull you and bless you with a job? So any kind of addiction, you can't be around people. You can't hang around people or be involved with people that's going to pull you back into that situation. We do have a choice. You have a choice.
Exactly.
You have a choice.
And, if I can interject with that word choice, you know, we had a young woman on the show who her name was Nancy Echt, and she had a methamphetamine addiction. And she lost her arm and part of her back because she, in shooting methamphetamine, she had missed a vein and basically had an infection, and the gangrene set in, and she had an amputation, and she lost not only her arm to methamphetamine, but her son, who was 31, And she tells the story in three schools we went to. When she got healthy again after her surgery, she went back to the same circle of people, same circle of friends, and said, here's my right arm now. Put that stuff in there now. And they did. And they, mm-hmm. She was still on that track, even though she had lost her left arm. And today, because of her faith, really, she has the focus on God. And but it took the loss of her son and the loss of her left arm and part of her back to get mm-hmm. her to wake up, And God says in Deuteronomy, if I may drop in some of God's mm-hmm. word, which is so important, and I know mm-hmm. you'll appreciate it. He says in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, he says, be careful, therefore, to do as the Lord your God has commanded you, not mm-hmm. turning aside to the right or to the left, but following exactly the way prescribed for you by the Lord your God, that you may live and prosper mm-hmm. and may have long life in the land which you are to occupy. And so, when we get off track, first of all, when you're under the influence of alcohol or a drug, your mind and your life are not yours anymore. Absolutely. You are really going and doing what that drug takes you mm-hmm. into. And mm-hmm. We have lost quite a few people, mm-hmm. many years ago. And you were there at Frankfort and Pratt at the recovery home that we went to. In fact, you received your graduation certificate over there one day.
Yes.
And you came as a speaker, if you remember, the House of Adonai. Which is now unfortunately closed because of the founder who had died. And mm-hmm. unfortunately, they were not able to succeed a year to 2 years after his death and mm-hmm. continue the operation. But in that place, we had people signed in for that class for 7 years every Tuesday. And mm-hmm. occasionally, I would come back, and one of the guys on the list last week had made a decision to do heroin tonight, and he's gone. And and the several times we lost people right on the sign-in sheet to heroin overdose, and it comes back to that word you used earlier, Jacoby, we all have a choice. Yes. We have free will, and we have to use that will in a good way to serve God and to really obtain his blessings and to go forward with them each and every day.
Absolutely, absolutely. Absolutely,
So, Jacoby, I just want to remind our listeners, we only have a few minutes left, but mm-hmm. I want to remind our listeners that, you're listening to Finding God in Prison. We're talking with Jacoby McFadden, the number one guy in the WINGS program for 6 years. He is success in reentry and living it out and working hard. And he has been really a blessing to the WINGS program and here at Holy Spirit Radio. Thank God for them because they gave us the platform by which we can, show great examples of success in reentry and sometimes success in recovery. And we really appreciate the opportunity to be here on WISP 1570 AM and WCOJ 1420 AM, Holy Spirit Radio. And also, so we have to just take a moment right now to acknowledge Frank Eliason, who's the producer of our show and many shows, and also for Dale and Jane, the founders of Holy Spirit Radio, which have been a great blessing for us and give us the opportunity to do this. So we have probably another 4 or 5 minutes, and I'll just tell you that, the work we've been doing in reentry, Jacoby, now, we've mm-hmm. completed 7 years in the Philadelphia Department of Prisons. We've completed now 18 years in my father's vineyard. And this is actually our 25th year with the WINGS program, having been to 100 schools, 8 prisons, and many recovery homes. And you're part of that. You're part of that success that we've had. And you know what it is to turn someone's life around. If you can, in a short time, do you recall the conversation we had in that pizza place in Ewing?
Yes. I was actually in another reentry program called A Better Way, and I seen your name on the list. I was looking for employment, and And I tell you, man, God is so awesome because, you know, how me and you encounter each other, I was, you know, we encountered each other and then we met up at the pizza place in Ewing. Actually, I'm doing an interview right now with you. I'm right around the corner from that pizza shop. I'm right around the corner from that pizza shop. I mean, literally right around the corner from it. And, you know, when you interview me, you know, I was honest with you. I was transparent with you. And I was seeking transition. I was seeking growth. And even when I moved down to South Carolina, me and you kept in contact the 2 years I was gone. And, you know, I tell you, you know, the Your Reentry program and stuff, it's helped me out a lot. You know, I speak about the program all the time. And a lot of people say, what does WING stand for? I say, it's winning ideas, nurturing, growth, and success. They say, oh, wow. And I tell people, it's not where you've been in life. You know, we all done some. We all done been some places. It's not where you've been in life. It's where you're going. And yes, you know, it's where you're going in life.
Exactly right. And that's one of the areas that we focus on, because we don't judge our men. It's not where you've been. It's where you're going. Mm-hmm. As long as you're willing to make changes, you know, and with God's help, we're able to get that message across to many men who really count themselves out. There are a lot of men who look at their past and really don't look too fondly on themselves when they look in the mirror, and they have a lot of guilt. Our job is to, you know, get rid of that with God's help and to start again. Mm-hmm. And like St. Paul, who killed many Christians, you know, God used him to really bring the word of God, you know, the gospel to millions of people. He wrote 13 books of the Bible. And he's really a great role model for me and for us.
Me too,
You know, we'll never kill many people, and he did. And God turned him around, you know, and used him to be a force for good. And that's what we do in the WINGS program.
Absolutely.
You know? First and foremost, to get men to, you know, we have 50 hours to work on the heart of a man. And that's the way you get them to make changes, practical changes in daily life. But, Jacoby, I just tell you, we only have another minute. I want to thank you very much for calling in today. And it's been a privilege and a pleasure to talk to you again. And as I said earlier, when you first came on, you've always been a man of your word, and I have great respect for you. And, you know, your story is a great one. And I want to just thank you for calling in this morning. And I hope we can get together for lunch soon.
Oh, yes. I work so many hours and everything like that. But we'll definitely get together for lunch. And thanks for allowing me to come on the radio show and to share my testimony, what the good Lord has done for me. You know, he gets the honor, he gets the glory, he gets the praise, you know?
And, yeah.
If anybody is listening out there, you know, don't give up on your hopes and your dreams and aspirations. You know, I'm going to leave one scripture, and I know it's time for us to go. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all things, not a little bit of things, all things, Jesus said, will be added unto you. Thank you, sir.
Beautiful. Jacoby, I want to thank you again for calling in. And so we want to thank our donors who have supported us for 25 years, people who believe in the work we do, both inside and outside of prison walls. Some of the private donors who've stepped up to the plate, we wouldn't be doing the work we've done for many years without their help. And I tell you that. And we share that with a lot of our men, by the way, Jacoby, because a lot of people think that, you know, no one wants to support the inmate reentry work, the men in prison. But the reality is we've had great people who believe in the good work that we do. And that helps us to get not only into the prisons, but into the courtrooms to get our men home early. So, you know, it's been a blessing talking with you today. For my friends out there, I want to thank you once again for tuning in, and God bless you. And may the peace of God, the love of God, and the word of God come your way today and always. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next time on Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. Have a great day, Jacoby. God bless.
You too, Mr. Montone.
He thinks to the Lord, I got and keep. He's love and